Thank you, ladies. Did you enjoy that? Wasn't that a blessing? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I've enjoyed the music this morning, and now we're ready for the preaching. And so I want you to get your Bibles out and listen carefully. Of course, no stranger here to First Baptist Church. It's a delight to have Brother Daryl Murphy back with us. And let's listen carefully as he brings the message here at this time.
All right. Thank you, Brother Clear, and what a blessing it is to be back here in my home church. Amen. And it's always a blessing to be here. Thank the Lord for this church. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for this church. I thank God for it. And praise the Lord. And this church has a wonderful testimony. And not just here, but all over the world. And people always talk to me about it, ask me about it. And the impact, the influence that it has for the glory of God. And I appreciate that. And so I'm thankful to the Lord for an opportunity to be able to preach the first Sunday. And I'm glad we can do it, and that's a good way to kick off the new year, by being faithful to church. And no better place to, start the new year off than, the house of God. Amen. I know the world today, they think differently about that, and they think, they can find happiness going to the bars and starting off. Let's start the new year off with a hangover. I don't know. That just don't make any sense to me. But, but that's the way people are. Amen. Thank the Lord for this church and has that desire. I'm going to read some verses out of the book of Luke, chapter 13, the book of Luke. And then chapter number 13, I want you to notice here in this passage of Scripture what the Bible declares under the inspiration of the Spirit of God preserved in the King James Bible. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And there's some definite truths here out of this passage of Scripture. I believe we incorporate them into our lives, and that they'll help us to have the type of year, that God wants us to have. Brother Oldemaker mentioned it could be the year that Jesus Christ comes back. We always look forward and, to the coming of the Lord Jesus. But I remember back in the day when I was sitting over there in the youth group, and Brother Johnson would stand up here and preach, and a lot of other men had come through, and Brother Howes and Brother Rice and those guys, they'd say the same thing that I'm saying. Jesus could come back at any minute. That's 45 years ago. And so he hadn't come back. And so who knows? Where will the church be in 40 years? Amen. Where will First Baptist Church be in 40 years? Now, thank God, the church is still rolling and is still going, still blowing, and still has a burden to reach people with the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each year we ought to, set some goals and have a desire to be more like Jesus. He left us an example that we ought to follow in his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That, yes, we'll stumble, we'll fall, but thank God the Lord will never leave us or never forsake us. And so we ought to have a good attitude about the opportunity. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And to see God do some great and mighty things, as he has done in the past. And then as we continue on to go forth, 2020, back in the 70s, 80s, they would have television shows and movies about the future. And, they would talk about what would happen in the year 2000. Would people, be floating around and all of that? And here we are, 2020. And, we still have to take pills to lose weight. In 2020, you would have think they would have invented something. You could just think about it and you'd lose weight. But they haven't yet, but they would like you to think they have, just to sell a product. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice, of course, I read through the Bible every day, and I read, and I have my devotions and different areas, and then I'll read sermons and things like that. I try to read at least a couple of sermons a week, and you know, in different passages. And here was a passage of scripture that came up a few times, and so God impressed upon my heart to bring some things out of this passage of scripture. Of course, it's the parable of the barren fig tree, and there's a lot of applications here in this passage of scripture. We know that there's an interpretation, but there's applications we can apply to our life to help us to be the child of God that God wants us to be and to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. And here in this passage, I want you to notice he spake also this parable, Luke chapter 13 and verse number 6. He spake also this parable. That's the way the Lord would communicate a truth. And he'd do it through, you know, parables and types, I'm the door, or I'm the true vine, and he'd use different things like that to manifest the truth, a spiritual truth that he wanted us to have in our lives, giving us a picture, amen? And I like pictures, and especially when I eat at a Mexican restaurant, I want to see pictures, because, you know, you can't pronounce half the things that they're serving. And so I want that, you know, your point. And thank God there's a picture of it. Amen. So then you know what you're getting. And so, but that's the way the Lord. And so he gave this parable. And the Bible says here, a certain man had a fig tree. And that fig tree represents, the child of God, represents you and I, planted in his vineyard, the will of God. And there's no greater joy than being in the direct center of God's will. There's no greater joy, no greater opportunity to be used of God than in the direct center of knowing the will of God and God's will for our life, and determine that 2020, you're going to be diligent about staying in the center of God's will. A lot of Christians today, they try to exist outside of God's will. But he has saved us and then called us, and he has placed us in his vineyard, in the work that God has called every one of us to be involved in. And so here was a fig tree that was barren. He sought fruit thereon, and the Bible says, found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumber the ground? Why are you spending so much time working on this fig tree when for 3 years there hasn't been any sign of growth, any sign of fruit on this fig tree? Why are you continuing to allow it to exist? And it speaks highly of the grace and mercy of God that he has towards us many times, amen, when we're not as fruitful as we ought to be. But the Bible declares, then said the dresser of the vineyard, behold, of course, here's a worker. And he's the one that cares for the vines. You have the owner. This is his place. And that's God. God is the one who oversees everything. Amen. He's got omnipresence, omnipotence. And so he is the overseer. And so the individual here, the dresser, would represent, you know, the Holy Spirit of God, and how the Spirit of God continues his work in our life. And answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Let it alone this year. Give me another year. Give me another year. So here we are in 2020, God giving us another opportunity, another year. And so the last thing you want to be is an unfruitful Christian. And so the Bible says here, let it alone. Let it alone this year. This could be our last year. And we ought to determine to make this year a year of good cheer. Amen. A year of good cheer. A year of rejoicing in the blessings and the mercy, the long suffering. And I've experienced that in my own life personally as a backslidden Christian. And the mercy and the long suffering and the compassions, where the Bible tells us that his compassions, they fail not. Amen. And so here we have this illustration here of this fig tree has been placed in this vineyard. And so it wasn't unusual, you know, back during that time for there to be fig trees, you know, in the vineyards. But it's God's plan and purpose for our life as people of God to be the Christian and to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to determine to be a vessel of grace, amen, not a vessel of disgrace. And 2020 ought to be a banner year, another opportunity, another a season that we can manifest the power of God in and through our lives as we faithfully serve him with every ounce of our being. But I want you to notice some things here as we contemplate the fact that this could be our last year. 2019 was the last year for my mother. And she passed away September 1st. And I preached her funeral. And four people got saved. And then just recently, Char Frendel went home to be with the Lord. 2019 was her last year. Amen. And went home to be with the Lord. And I had the opportunity to preach her funeral. And four people raised their hand and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And that's what God wants. Even in those trying times, tough times, even though in those seasons where we don't seem to be growing or, you know, making the progress, maybe we're stuck spinning our wheels, those are the times that God, as we stay faithful to the call of God upon our life, that he will use to manifest his power, to allow us to be that fruitful Christian that God wants us to be for his honor and his glory. And so we have to ask ourselves that, will this be our last year? If so, I'm going to make this year a year of good cheer. I'm not going to allow a negative type of attitude or spirit hinder me from doing what God has called me to do. But I want you to notice here in this passage of Scripture three things. We need to understand, number one, that judgment is inevitable. Who's with me? Say amen. Judgment. You know, today people live as if there's not even going to be a judgment. And that's the way people want to live. That's exactly why Satan was able to finagle this idea, of humanism and how we all just came to being from something. We're all animals. We don't, you know, we're really not accountable for our actions because, we're all animals. And we blame it on our upbringing or we blame it on society. And we constantly refer to ourselves as the victim. Are you with me? Amen. But according to the Scriptures and the Word of God and the Bible, as we are placed there in his vineyard, that judgment is inevitable. He came and sought. He came to examine that fig tree to see if there were any type of a growth, any type of fruit, any type of desire to want to continue his existence. This was the vineyard. This was his vineyard. This was his fig tree, which illustrates to you and I that we are all bought with the price. We are not ourselves. We belong to God. Amen. The Bible tells us that What? Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have God, you're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which our God's. Now, because of this fact, because you've been saved and you've been placed in his vineyard and you are his child, we need to understand that judgment is inevitable. We're all going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of our life, of our time, what we've done with the time that God has given us. Amen. 1982, I got my heart right with the Lord. I determined on that day I was going to stop wasting my time, wasting my life, wasting these opportunities that God, and I'm going to spend every ounce of my time for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, what would that have me to do? And he called me into his ministry. And praise God, we had almost 400 people saved last year through the revivals. What a glory, what a blessing, what an opportunity to be thankful, to be used by God, knowing that one day, neighbor, I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my time. Amen. Listen, we waste too much time. And you know, 2020, everybody's got the vision. And we need vision. We need tunnel vision. Amen. I mean, steadfast. Set our face like a flint in the tunnel and set your face on that thing, that task that God's. But at the same time, we need peripheral vision and to see around us. And, you know, as my coach and my father used to tell me when I played hockey, you've got to keep your head on a swivel. Amen. And, you know, one time I got body checked, blindsided, didn't even know it. And I usually don't fall down. If I'm down, somebody tripped me or somebody knocked me down. I know some of you think I fell down in that alumni game, but I was tripped. They didn't even call a foul. And, you know, when we came to this church and I came to Christian school, they didn't have hockey. You had to play basketball, you know. I wasn't much of a basketball player. I still hold a record for fouling out quicker than anybody else. I didn't know you couldn't throw a forearm or a elbow and pull their jersey up over their head and start giving them some uppercuts. You're not supposed to play basketball like you played hockey. Amen. But, you know, but God, he's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And we need to understand this truth. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're going to stand before God and give an account. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself. The time. What are you doing with your time? Stop wasting time running after things. Success is not determined how much you accumulate on this face of the earth. He must increase, and I must decrease. But we live like, you know, I've got to increase. I've got to increase. I've got to increase. Wasted time is temporal. Time, we waste time fighting and feuding and fussing. And the Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. We need to be more cautious and careful of the time and realize we'll stand before God. As this owner came and began to examine this fig tree and found no fruit, he said, it's worthless, it's no good. Cut it down. Why cumber the ground? So it's true of you and I. Lest we determine to be diligent about the Father's business, understanding and knowing one day we'll stand before God. Do you realize that? See, people today don't think they're going to give. They don't want to be accountable. Nobody wants to be accountable. We live in a day and age where everybody has to pass the buck. Point the finger. Blame it on President Trump. Blame it on the Democrats. Blame it on the Republicans. Blame it on the conservatives. Blame it on the liberals. Blame it on the Christians. Who's with me? Not understanding, realizing you're going to stand before God individually. You're not going to stand there with your mama. You're not going to stand with your dad. You're not going to stand with your husband, your wife. You're not going to stand with your kids. Everyone will give his own account. And we'll see how true that is based on this account in the Word of God. Let 2020 be a year of good cheer, understanding it may be our last opportunity, knowing that when we die, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, we'll give the account there. And we need to understand that we need to stop wasting our time, our treasure, our money, spending it on things that are not used to advance the cause of Christ. Amen. And to use it and to fill a need, as we heard about earlier in the announcements. And we heard Pastor Johnson say it over and over. And Brother Clear says it. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Judgment is inevitable. Notice, secondly, fruitlessness is unacceptable. Fruitlessness is unacceptable. And God did not place us, God did not plant us in his vineyard for us to just sit around and do nothing. Didn't hear a whole lot of amens on that one. But you know, First Baptist Church wasn't built on people just sitting around on their hands. It was built on people that were willing to get out there, get their hands dirty. They were willing to take that time and get out on Saturday and go soul winning. Get out on Saturday, visit a bus route. Get out on Saturday and take care of your Sunday school. Visit your Sunday school class. And then get here on Sunday. And rather than just sit there and take up space, they were diligent about serving God, being used of God. Come back Sunday night, hear a message that would exhort us to be more like Jesus. Learn about the Bible on Wednesday. Pray Thursday. Go out soul winning. Listen, never. This church was built on people that were willing to labor and work. I've been preaching revival 34 years. I preach in a lot of churches. Several of them are no longer there. You know what happened? They got cut down because they weren't bringing forth fruit. They weren't being productive. There was no fruit. And oh, listen, God wants us to be fruitful. As the Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. Who's with me? Amen. That's where God wants us. He's placed us. And, to be placed, as we're going to learn this year about being rooted. Amen. The problem is a lot of people have no root in themselves. And so it lasts for a while. Then when persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Amen. Fruitlessness is unacceptable. That's the word of God. No, listen, so many people today just not manifesting the fruit. You have not chosen me. I've chosen you. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father's name, he may give it you. Amen. That is the ultimate result of fruitfulness, is answered prayer. Answered prayer. And why am I praying on that? Why am I praying? Well, what kind of fruit are you manifesting? A good tree brings forth good fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. By their fruit ye shall know them. And you're not going to be manifesting that fruit unless you determine to take some root. Amen. And not be so easily offended. Not be so thin-skinned. And understand this fig tree was placed here by God Almighty himself. And the Bible says that the blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel ungodly, stand away from sinners, sitteth seated scornful. But his delight in the law of the Lord, and under the law that he meditate day and night. And you need to avoid worldliness. There's too much worldliness in our vineyard. Too much worldliness. Too much worldliness in that generation that just wants to run around and look like the world, listen to the world music, go to worldly places, do worldly things. You're not going to be fruitful. And the Bible says that fruitlessness is unacceptable. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's the way we used to preach in the old days. And people would say amen. And people would hit the altar. But oh, listen, what a tragedy it is today. The last thing we want to see is for church that's not fruitful. And eventually, you know, it just withers away. It fades away. It's cut down. And then notice, thirdly, not only judgment is inevitable and fruitlessness is unacceptable, but cooperation is unavoidable. Notice the Bible says here about this dresser and the work that he was doing here with the fig tree. No man is an island unto himself. Everybody needs help. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you think you have arrived. Amen. Take heed lest you fall, is what the Bible says. And so we all need that work of the Holy Spirit of God. We're the spirit of cooperation. And as Christian people, we need to understand the truth of having that unity and having that cooperation in the house of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in our life. That's a picture as he would dig about it, to poke, to prod. And God wants to purge us of our infirmities and bring forth a vessel of honor. He said to the Apostle Paul, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And we need to allow ourselves, avail ourselves, to be under the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and the preaching of God's word and the rebuking and the exhorting with all longsuffering. And not bow up at the preaching of God's word. Not get upset when the Holy Spirit of God begins to convict your heart about your sinful living. And get right with God. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You want to determine to allow that ground to be soft, pliable, moldable in the hands of the Holy Spirit of God as he does his work in our life, and to bring forth that fruit that God wants to see, the fruits of salvation. Are you saved? Then act like you're saved. Talk like you're saved. Walk like you're saved. Dress like you're saved. Amen. And, God, people today, I don't know how many times I've been in a restaurant with preachers and people come over. Are you guys preachers? Why would they think we're preachers? Because we're fighting with each other? Like Baptists do sometimes? No. Because we're talking. Our language is not of this world. We're talking and acting. We're pilgrims to strangers. And we ought to be different. And that fruit, that inward experience ought to manifest outward acceptance of the things of God. Cooperation is unavoidable. If you want to be fruitful, you've got to allow yourself to be dig about dung, fertilizer, and break up that fallow ground. Why don't we have a year of good cheer? Understanding that this may be our last year. He said, let me dig about it and leave it alone this year. Let me dig about it. And God's going to do some digging in your life. Avail yourself. Have that spirit of cooperation. Lord, I pray you take the message. Help us to recognize the truth of it. I pray we'll all understand how the judgment is inevitable. We're all going to stand before you. And that, Lord, and how that being unfruitful is unacceptable. And that, Lord, help us to have that spirit of cooperation and allow the Holy Spirit of God to do his work. And to be humble and submit ourselves to the voice and the preach of God's word. I pray, Lord, that 2020 be a banner year. I pray this morning that the folks here not saved get saved. I pray folks here need to get baptized, get baptized. I pray, Lord, that we'll have this altar full of people wanting to be that fruitful Christian, that fruitful fig tree, Lord, that you've illustrated here in this passage of Scripture. Oh, dear God, help us to have that type of spirit. Strengthen our church, dear Lord. Use it to reach this community, this state, this nation, the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll be quick to give you the honor and the glory for it in your name.